Jaya Radha Madhava Jabi Hari Gopichanna Balava Girivara Tahari Gopi Janna Balava Girivara Tahari Yashoda Nandana Braja Chanaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Chanaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Jai Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada 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 Ananta Goti Vaishnava Vinyaki Chai, Skan Divite, founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Chai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Chai, Karasivrata Ki Chai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Nitai Gopremanandi, all glories to your Sum of Devotees, all glories to your Sum of Devotees, all glories to your All glories to Sri Guru and Guranga, Sri Prabhupada, Ki Jai. So we're up to text 7 in chapter 9 of Canto 3, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Purana. Daivena te hata diyo bhavatak prasangat Daivena te hata diyo bhavatak prasangat sarvasu bhopa samanad vimukendriya ye. Sarvasu bhopa samanad vimukendriya ye. Kurvanti kama sukale salabhaya dina. Loba bi, Loba bi bhuta manaso kushalani sarsvat. Taivena te hata diyo vavatak prasangat. Sarva subho pasamanad vimukendriya ye. Kurvanti kama sukalesa labhaya dina. Loba bibhuta manaso kushalani sarsvat.
Mataji. Revolution.
Shashvat, Lord, you are my soul.
Thank you. One little note about the etiquette. Just in I learned this in Vrindavan, is that it's a little point of etiquette, is that the one who's giving the class generally will choose the melody. As long as he chooses a melody, that's a melody. I think I did that. And then those who are repeating, the etiquette is that you just follow the melody. Sometimes the one giving the class will, the melody is very hard to follow, that's another thing. But this morning I believe I chose a very established melody. Daivenam, by fate of misfortune,
they
Hatadiyam, bereft of memory, Bhavatam, of you, Pashangat, from the topics, Sarvam, all, Ashubha, inauspiciousness, Upashamanat, curbing down, Vimukha, turned against, Indriyam, senses, Ye, those, Kurvanti, act, Kama, sense gratification, Sukha, happiness, Lesha, brief, Labhaya, for a moment only, Dina, poor fellows, Loba, Abhibhuta, overwhelmed by greed, Manasan, one whose mind, Akushalani, inauspicious activities, Shashvat, always. Translation and rather brief purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, persons who are bereft of all auspicious performance of chanting and hearing about your transcendental activities are certainly unfortunate and are also bereft of good sense. They engage in inauspicious activities, enjoying sense gratification for a very little while. Please repeat. O my Lord, persons who are bereft of the all auspicious performance of chanting and hearing about your transcendental activities are certainly unfortunate and are also bereft of good sense. They engage in inauspicious activities, enjoying sense gratification for a very little while. Very little while. Purport. The next question is why people are against such auspicious activities as chanting and hearing the glories and pastimes of the Lord. This is the next question. Which of these, this hearing and chanting can bring total freedom from the cares and anxieties of material existence? The only answer to this question is that they are unfortunate because of supernatural control due to their offensive activities performed simply for the sake of sense gratification. The Lord's pure devotees, however, take compassion upon such unfortunate persons, and in a missionary spirit, try to persuade them into the line of devotional service. Only by the grace of pure devotees can such unfortunate men be elevated to the position of transcendental service. Translation again. O my Lord, persons who are bereft of the all auspicious performance of chanting and hearing about your transcendental activities are certainly unfortunate and are also bereft of good sense. They engage in inauspicious activities, enjoying sense gratification for a very little while. Om Jnanatimananda Sajananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this morning, what I feel inspired to discuss is a very important fundamental principle has to do with Abhideya, the practice of Krishna consciousness. And it relates to the benefit of engaging in activities for long term up to eternal benefit, as opposed to wasting our time in activities which produce a trivial, superficial pleasure at the expense of the long-term benefit. Who can say, what are those, in Sanskrit, what are those two modes, those two formats, what is the two Sanskrit terms for that? Yeah. Shreyas and Prayas, that's correct. Prayas is the negative side, and Shreyas is the really positive side. I can give an example. It's a very homely example, we can say. Mrs. Margulies. It's an open and shut case. Circa 1954 in Brooklyn, New York, PS 179. So she was advocating Shreyas as opposed to Prayas. But she didn't use that language, of course. She gave the example of how she insists that her daughters first do their homework for school, and then they could listen to the radio. Not that many people had television, so that was coming in. So there it is. Of course, when we talk about it, it's kind of relative in the sense that one can say, don't play all day, Johnny. You have to go to school, you gotta learn, so you'll have a better future. So the parent is telling the child, don't just engage in prayas. You have to do something that's not initially pleasing to you, like going to school, and that's shreyas. But then we can see how in Krishna consciousness, what is shreyas from the material frame of reference is prayas in the big picture. What do I mean by that? In other words, say going to school and studying and then going to college and then getting degrees and being able to get a good job and have a good income and more prestige. That may seem like that's shreyas from the material point of view, but from the spiritual point of view, that whole effort, I'm not saying no one should go to school and no one should try to improve their material condition as far as necessary, but the shreyas in the material context becomes the prayas in spiritual. Because one is still, he has a human form of life and he's wasting it, making all these endeavors, even though it's for future, even though it's relatively shreyas, it's relatively long-term, but as they say, you can't take it with you. At the time of death, that's all finished. Janma, what is it? Ante Narayana Smriti. What is that? Janma? Janma, what's the second word? Janma Labha. Labha means to obtain. Janma Labha Parakpum Sham Ante Narayana Smriti. All your Itavan, Shankhya Yoga, Vyam, Spanishta, Svadharma, Paranishtaya, all your successful engagements that all, whether it's really auspicious or not will be tested at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti, when will you remember Narayan or Krishna? So this really grabbed me, probably it called your attention also, that the description of the materialist, that they engage in inauspicious activities, enjoying sense gratification for very little time. So to remain bereft of atma-tattva is disastrous. Without some sense of the science of self-realization, without some sense of what I am, who I am, that hello, there is life after death, and no, it's not stereotyped, go up to heaven, go down to hell. It's many different destinies according to our mentality, especially at the time of death. So to be bereft of that knowledge is a great disaster for the living entity. Because then what happens is he or she acts according to what's described here, engaging in inauspicious, enjoying sense gratification for a very little while. Going back to, I guess now I got from grade school, primary school, now I'm in high school and learning more advanced subjects. So they, some of you may remember, maybe they taught you also that there was this literary trend called carpe diem, means seize the day, carpe diem. In other words, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, that kind of thing. There was a singer in the 1950s, I'm sorry to be so nostalgic, I'm not really sorry. And I remember on television she was singing, you know, very, you know, kind of very nice voice, and she was singing, enjoy yourself, it's later than you think, enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink means you're still healthy. So this is, permeates materialistic culture, this idea of, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. It's a Rubaiyat by Omar Khayyam. The whole poem is about how the potter will come and we're like pots, and the potter will come and smash us. So here we are, a loaf of bread, a jug of wine, and you beside me in the wilderness. Oh, wilderness is paradise, enow. Enow just means now. So that's the all too common, whether it's expressed poetically or in some gross way, as we see in the mass medium, another medium. So we need to have a sense about Natattva, about afterlife, and that so that we're inspired to act for a real long-term benefit. In Bhagavad Gita, this is brought out. For instance, in the 25th verse of the 18th chapters, chapter Anubandhas, that it's described that that people in ignorance, they Anubandhas, that means they don't, Anubandhas, the consequent bondage, they don't care about, not caring for the bondage that will result from your activities. They just act whimsically. And 18, the 38th verse, many of you are familiar with the, I think most of you would be familiar with the different types of happiness in the mode of goodness, happiness in the mode of ignorance, happiness in the mode of passion. And that's all about prayas and shreyas. happiness in the mode of, I think it's verse 38, Vishayendri Asam Yogat Yathad Agre Mritopanam. What is it? Parinna Me Visham Iva Tatsukam Rajasam Smitam. That happiness is called happiness in the mode of passion, which is yathad agre amritam. Amritam, it's just like nectar at the agre, at the beginning, at the head of it. At the beginning, it's just like nectar. And then what happens? Padiname means in the course of time, it becomes just like visham. Visham means poison. Happiness in the mode of goodness is described just the opposite. Yathad agre visham. It's like poison at the beginning. Why would I do that? Why would I want poison? Well, because a poison just means it's not satisfying my senses. It's an austerity. I have to go to school. I can't go out in the street and play stickball or something. But then in the course of time, parinna me litam, it becomes like nectar. This is so basic. Even from a material point of view, it makes so much more sense to go for the gold, as we say, to go for the shreyas as opposed to the preyas. Go to the more long, what to speak of going for eternal benefit. But I don't think there is anything as eternal. When you die, even the professor said, everything is finished. So why should I, there's no eternal. All right, lots of luck, sorry. Okay, then I get into something I always go back to, is the Bhagavad Gita. We have the 2.69, Yanisha Sabhabhutanam. Tasyam jagarti samyami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashito mune. Someone know what that verse means? That's a very crucial verse, a very foundational verse. It means that the ignorant people, what is night for all beings is daytime for the, how does that go, the translation?
The time of sleeping for the material world is the time of awakening for the introspective sage.
Right. Yeah, it's 2.69. Let me read the exact translation. I think you were quite close to contents that you summarized. Okay, 2.69. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled, and the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. So what is, purport also, what is being advocated here by Krishna and Srila Prabhupada in the purport, is to use modern language, is a paradigm shift. What's the paradigm shift? Well, ultimately, from preyas to shreyas, that we're going to live our life in such a way. I'll give an example, a very personal example. I'm not embarrassed. I don't. How can I pretend? There was a poem like that. Last night, we had the Sunday Love Feast. And we all love it, you know, the Sunday Love Feast. That's a wonderful aspect of Srila Prabhupada's program. I think it was Kirtan Ananda who came up with that phrase, and Prabhupada liked it, the idea, this Love Feast. And so we had the Sunday Love Feast, and yours truly decided that, okay, we have to regulate, right? So I have my diet in my old age, but let me regulate indulgence. So you know, I'm not saying I went and I took a huge mountain of prasadam. I mean, Pran Govinda was sitting next to me, so I was good. I was good. It didn't take too much. I took enough. But, so that was from a material, you know, just in terms of biology, you can say it was prayas. It was immediately gratifying, but then, you know, my digestion became disastrous. And so I came so late to the morning program today. So that's a personal realization. So the expert preacher, someone who's really compassionate, that's part of what we're hearing about in short purport, Prabhupada says that the Lord's pure devotees, however, take compassion upon such unfortunate persons, and in a missionary spirit, try to persuade them into the line of devotional service. Only by the grace of pure devotees can such unfortunate men be elevated to the position of transcendental service. So the intercession, or the mercy of the pure devotee, is what is able to stimulate a paradigm shift. I always like to two personal remembrances from 1966. One was it was the seed of the paradigm shift. It's not like I heard this from Swamiji Srila Prabhupada and then immediately I started doing everything right in Krishna consciousness. It was 9 years before I actually moved into the temple in Boston. The seed was there of this paradigm shift when Srila Prabhupada was basically reiterating that aharani ja bhayamaitanam cha, what is it? That eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, we are the same as the animals. Pashubir samana, we're the same as the animals. There's no difference between human being and animals, even advanced human beings, that they eat, sleep, mate, and defend. Or at least they do three of them. So that's, and I'm not saying you're not advanced if you do all four of them. take it the wrong way. So that's the same. What is the dharmo hite sham adiko vishesho? That the vishesha, the speciality of human life is dharma, religion, if we can use that word. Spiritual life, ultimately Krishna consciousness. And dharmena hina, leaving aside dharma, then Pashubir samana, Pashubir shana, then the samana. It's the same as animal. Human beings are just animals. Something here. Dvipadu pashu. What is dvipadu pashu? Someone saying that? Two-legged animals. We just wasn't it last night where the speaker, wonderful presentation. Abhishek, his name was. I think it was just last night. He was also including in his presentation that we have to become human. It's not that just that you have a human body and it makes you human. The Vedic culture is to elevate dvipadu pashu, two-legged animals, so they actually become qualified to be designated as actual human being. Human being, Aryan, one who knows the value of life. So paradigm shift is a change of the whole mindset. I remember Vishnu Gadaprabhu, he was in the Rathiatra in New York. I had a chance to get a little few minutes of his association. We had a lot of association with him in 1988 in Tawako, New Jersey. So he used the word mindset and back in 1988. And I didn't quite catch what, because he was starting to study psychology. And basically a mindset is a paradigm, you know, how we look at things. You hear about the Darwinian paradigm or the materialistic paradigm or the spiritual paradigm or more specific paradigms, the Copernican paradigm, the paradigm of quantum mechanics or something like that. So we're mostly interested in the distinction between the material paradigm and the spiritual paradigm. So paradigm shift, that's in that what is night for all beings is time of awakening for the self-controlled, and time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. Introspective is a very nice choice of words that Prabhupada gave us. In other words, one is sensitive to one's own limitations, to one's own anarthas, to one's positive or negative points. One is objectively, he's introspective, or she is introspective. We're going, what is that verse? Yontak sukantararamas, tatantar jyotirevacham. It's a Brahma yoga, it's a yogi nirvanam. Brahma bhuta digachtati. That one achieves Brahman on the spiritual platform when he's active within, his happiness is within, his aim is inward, jyotir, his aim, tatantar jyotir evacha. So that individual is achieves Brahmabhuta, he achieves the spiritual platform. In psychology, there was years ago I heard about this, inner-directed versus outer-directed. The majority of people are outer-directed. They're looking for external things for their source of happiness, whereas the minority, especially in Kali Yuga, they're inner-directed. They're looking for happiness within, and that's what that verse is 5.24 in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna's recommending. Many examples of such a shift. As usual, I brought a ton of shloka references here to share, but I don't think I'm going to get to that, which is not, you know, horrible. Maybe we'll have a few. Examples of paradigm shift. What do I mean again by paradigm shift? What is night for one is day to the other. What is day to one is night to the other. In other words, a change. You know, we were hearing just in the Mataji's announcements this morning. As usual, she read some nectar from Prabhupada, and it was real nectar and very clear. It helped us clarify this idea of putting ourselves on our feet instead of going around on our head. In other words, not being upside down. Material world is a perverted reflection of spiritual, like a tree in the water, and chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita describes that banyan tree with the roots upward and the branches down. So that is really a paradigm shift. Let me stop, you know, walking on my head. Let me start walking on my feet, and let me start thinking with my head instead of something else. So we have to get right side up. I guess that's a simple way of putting it. It's a paradigm shift. Right side up also means go for Shreyas, not for Prayas. Don't let ourselves be informed by the lower faculties. Indriyani paranyahu, indriyevya param manaha. What is it? Manasa parabhude, yobhude parashastusha. The hierarchy of faculties, it's not a level playing field. It's not that it's just as good to be on the mental platform as it is to be on the intellectual platform. It's not that it's just as good to be on the intellectual platform as it is to be on the spiritual platform. There's a hierarchy involved. The senses are superior to the objects, the mind is superior to the senses, intelligence is still superior to the mind, and the soul is superior to all, what to speak of God. Examples of paradigm shift. Everybody's familiar now in paradigm shift I'm talking about. Let's put ourselves right side up. Let's not mistake day for night or night for day. I think it's quite clear. Is anyone who's not clear what I mean when I say paradigm shift? Is everybody okay? Yes? Okay. Examples, Shukadev Goswami, Mrigari, Jayan Vijay, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Dhruva Maharaj. These are all famous personalities from Srimad Bhagavatam, and they all experienced the paradigm shift. Shukadev Goswami went from being impersonalist to true theist, a personalist. They're hearing some verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Mrigari, wow, that's a pretty radical shift there with Mrigari. Mrigari means the Adi of the Mriga, the enemy of the animals. So he really underwent an incredible paradigm shift. It was like very sudden. And when he met Narada Muni was such a potent, powerful preacher that he was able to get Mrigari not only to stop half killing animals, but to give up his bow. Mrigari said, how can I break my bow and give it up? That's how we eat. That's my family line. We are hunters and we use the bow. I mean, even if I obeyed you and I'm not going to half kill the animals, I still have to kill them so I can eat them. You know? So that was a real paradigm shift where Narada Muni, he kind of like scared him a little, telling him how much you have to suffer, the reactions, the sinful reactions of going around and half killing these animals. And because Narada Muni has such a august, powerful presence that even this very fallen individual regarding the enemy of the animals, the hunter, he kind of paid attention. He didn't in any way ignore the warning from Narada Muni. So what do I have to do to be saved from such reaction? Narada Muni's first thing, break your bow. Whoa, how can I do that? You usually say make it or break it. This is break it and make it, something like that. Break your bow. And because Narada Muni was so powerful, Mrigari actually did do that. And now it's okay, but how am I going to eat? How will I survive without my bow? And you know this, the history of that. Narada Muni said, don't worry, just sit and chant Hare Krishna, and Krishna will provide everything, or I'll bring you your food. Not a problem. And Mrigari is no longer Mrigari. He became, I guess he had some other name then. And he became famous in the whole village because a hunter became a Vaishnava, a devotee. So they all went to see him and they brought him so many different kinds of foodstuffs. That he was almost complaining. He said, what can I do with all this food? It's more than my family needs. I guess he did some prasadam distribution or something. Okay, paradigm shift. We had Mrigari and Jayan Vijay. How does that fit in? I included that example of paradigm shift. Well, they certainly underwent purification of them. They realized their offense against the four Kumaras, and they didn't object to being punished. Sarvamama Bhattacharya went from being a dry logician, maybe the greatest logician of all of India. You know, this is historical, this is not 5,000 years, it's 500 years back. So Sarvamama Bhattacharya had a paradigm shift, and he went from being a dry logician and an impersonalist to a pure devotee, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, so much so that he didn't even want to see the word mukti in that famous verse, Tatenu Kumbhan Shushamikshaman, Mukti Sadaya Bhakti. He wanted to change it, and Lord Chaitanya said, really appreciated his sentiment, but he said, no, you can't change it, it's the scripture. This kind of mukti is okay. It falls within the purview of Vaishnava Siddhanta. Okay, that's Sarvabhauma. And what about Dhruva Maharaj? Maybe somebody could contribute this briefly. How did Dhruva Maharaj, what was the essence of his paradigm shift? Everybody's on strike. He changed his desire. From what to what?
From wanting something material to just wanting Krishna.
Right. He himself, a famous verse that he acknowledged that he was very mad after some broken glass, some shards of glass, and now I have the greatest jewel. I see you, oh my Lord. How foolish I was. Of course, from a material point of view, it wasn't just broken glass. It was a huge kingdom that he would be the ruler of and the proprietor of. But he saw it as broken glass as compared to darshan of the Lord. And many other examples. Each one of us also is going through this paradigm shift. As Bhakti George Harrison sang in the song, he says, it won't take long, I know, to become Krishna conscious. If I really want to be with you. And then he says, it will take so long, or it won't take long. He saw it both ways. It can go either way. As Srila Prabhupada said, you could become Krishna conscious in one moment. Just follow Krishna's instructions. Sarva dhamam padija. Just in one moment, or it could take many lifetimes. It's your choice. Well, better late than never. So it can take a long time, or it could not take. That depends on our determination. So the culture resulting from the paradigm shift, this occurs by Guru's mercy, 11.331. Tasmat, someone's yawning already. I'm sorry. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta jigyasu shreya utamam shade pare chanishnatam brahman upashramashayam. The famous verse in the 11th canto that one should approach a bona fide spiritual master who's expert in shastra and has realized the meaning. And if one actually wants the Shreya Uttamam, so we're back to Shreyas again, I suppose, but not just Shreyas, but Shreya Uttamam, the maximum eternal, very long lasting, or eternal benefit. So, so the next question, this is a purport, why are people against such auspicious activities as chanting and hearing the glories and pastimes of the Lord, which can bring total freedom from the cares and anxieties of material existence? The only answer to this question is that they are unfortunate because of supernatural control due to their offensive activities, performed simply for the sake of sense gratification. So I'll have to go through this very quickly because I'm running out of time very quickly, both in this class and in my lifetime. But 327, in Bhagavad Gita, Prakriti Kriyamana Nigune Karmani Sarvasha Ahankara Vimudatma Karta Hamiti Manyate. The conditioned soul, he thinks he's the doer, he's the actual doer of activity. Yeah, he's one of the doers, but the ultimate doer is the Supreme Lord, a super soul, we could say in this case. Five factors of action, and then the word ultimately is put before super soul. So the four factors are important: the place, the endeavor, the level of endeavor, the person himself who's endeavoring, the field of activity. All these things are important, but the word ultimately means conclusively important is the daivi influence. Also, karmana daivi netrena chantur deho papadyate. What is it? Shriyo vishtaram udaram pumsham reta kanashayaha. This is the real facts of life. You know, it includes the biological part, but it also mentions a much deeper understanding of how the living entity, according to his previous activities, and also according to supernatural, we're talking about supernatural influence, according to the daivi, it's karmana daivi netrena. It's not just karma, not like what is that karma mimamsa. It's not just karma, it's karma and daivi also. So not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. Even we have our karma, when man proposes, God disposes. So it's ultimately by the will of the Lord that we, that's why we have that Yastvindra Gopa Matavendra Hospa Karma, what is it? Vandana Rupa Falambhajana Matanoti. Now the Lord impartially distributes the result of fruit of work to everyone. Everyone from the king of heaven, Indra, down to Indra Gopa, a tiny little red insect. There's a lot more, but we're running out of time. So the five factors, the super soul, the word ultimately is put before it in Prabhupada's translation. So there's supernatural control. The particular karmic agendas of the myriad living entities gets each jiva back into the game, so to speak. So each of us gets to pick up where we left off. I'm referring here to how even after partial or total annihilations, our own agenda still is there latent, in a latent way. And we're along with time and so many other factors are injected into the Mahatattva by the Shambhu glance of Mahavishnu, then we continue where we left off. We have our agenda. So in the class, I'll just end with this. On the class to Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm sorry, I wanted to speak about the preacher and the preacher's merciful influence, and I'll say some little thing quickly about that. In 2.10.24 in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains as follows. The Lord is known as the Lord of the senses, Rishikesh. Thus the sense organs of living entities are manifested by the will of the Lord, and each organ is controlled by a certain type of demigod. This is still the topic of supernatural control. No one, therefore, can claim any proprietorship of the senses. The living entity is, and I put in my own brackets here, usually controlled by the senses. The senses are controlled by the demigods, and the demigods are servants of the Supreme Lord. That is the arrangement of the system of creation. Okay, the role of the preacher. The fortunate take interest in hearing kirtan, the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where others remain indifferent or inimical. The fortunate accept the preacher's description of the Lord. The unfortunate don't. And I had tons of references describing the respective mindsets. The preacher's merciful intervention. From the purport, the Lord's pure devotees take compassion upon such unfortunate persons and in a missionary spirit try to persuade them to take to the line of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada engaged me like that. He was just waiting for the opportunity to engage me in devotional service. And he said, you could be the one who serves prasadam to the devotees. And he handed me a great big plate of prasadam. I only got as far as the hallway with it, and then it became a little bit catatonic, and the devotees grabbed it. That's personal remembrance. Another example emerged just last Friday when during Harinam Sankirtan, Mataji repeatedly managed to evoke people's interest, never mind that at first almost all of them appeared uninterested. So that's the mercy and that's the power of a good preacher, is that he or she is able to engage people who are not displaying any particular spiritual tendency. The verse once again, we can go a little bit over time if there's any questions, I hope there are. Oh my Lord, persons who are bereft of the all-auspicious performance of chanting and hearing about your transcendental activities are certainly unfortunate and are also bereft of all good sense. That means they don't have any. They engage in inauspicious activities, enjoying sense gratification for a very little while. We have time for a couple of quick questions and answers. Yes, Martin.
First, Maharaj, I want to thank you for your lesson in etiquette. Forgive me for thinking I could do better.
Oh, about the melody of chanting
the melody
the verse.
You chose.
Yeah, I hope no one was offended by my slight reprimand.
Thank you.
In Vrindavan, a number of years ago, when the devotees started chanting and making up different melodies, the speaker in the class was much heavier than I was. He really put his foot down. So that kind of stuck with me. Do you have any question? Or?
Yeah, I like the point you made. You were citing different names in front of paradigm. And I'm thinking we all have chosen to adopt the Bhaktivedanta paradigm.
Right. Well, for Vedic, which is completely in sync with the Vedic Vaishnav Siddhanta paradigm. Vedic Vaishnav Siddhanta. I like to use that phrase. Yes, of course, the Prabhupada paradigm is not in any way isolated from Sri Guru Parampara and the whole culture. And as Professor Thomas Hopkins pointed out, that Swami Bhaktivedanta was very concerned that the teachings would not be separated from the culture. He was very strong in that point, he said. He said, if the teachings were taught in an abstract way without being supported by the culture, then everything will become convoluted and mixed up. He did use the word convoluted. That's a quote from Thomas Hopkins, a great well-wisher of ISKCON, and he just passed away, I think, very recently. Someone else? Yes?
So Maharaj, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we all change our paradigm, like Mother Gautama was saying.
Westerners more than Indian devotees. Indian devotees also have to change their paradigm, but not as drastically as we in from the Wild West.
Well, I can speak for myself. Certain, there was a real shift.
There was a shift for you as well. You were born in India?
Washington, D.C.
Oh.
All right. Well. So after we change our paradigm and we stick to that paradigm, but sometimes it seems like after some years, not that the paradigm is completely, seems like maybe they might be a little slowed down or going backwards, or if you have some comment on that.
Yeah, in most cases, this paradigm shift, this change of what we're depending upon, what is night, what is day, is a gradual process. We could join the Hare Krishna movement, we can get initiated, we could be many years, and depends on the individual, but many of us, I know in my own case, I'm still undergoing that paradigm shift that we have in Srimad Bhagavatam. We have early in the Bhagavatam, where is that chapter called? A change of heart. Change of heart. There was a musical album by that name. So the point I'm trying to make is, to answer your question, is it's not, in most cases, it's not like eureka, you know. I mean, it is like that. It could be a very sudden and sort of drastic and dramatic change, especially in my time when I joined, becoming a Hare Krishna person or joining, it means you move in the temple and you have tremendous discipline and you give up everything. So that stimulates, but still, as you're pointing out, in the course of time, we maybe haven't completed that paradigm shift. And well, we may still have our anchor stuck in the mud. You know that story of the boat, that they forgot to pull up the anchor. So if our anchor is still, if our security still comes from sense gratification, even if it's, you know, bona fide sense gratification, like Krishna Prasadam, I gave the incident of last night in my own case, then we still haven't completed that paradigm shift, or we still haven't completed the process of pulling our anchor out of the mud, of actually becoming free from that. I hope that touches a little on your concern. Thank you. Okay. I guess we're out of time, unless there's still one other. I see Karnapur is walking. That gives me hope that there's another person. He's just walking. That's it. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.